Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
The moment of the evening, every K-State fan enjoys. Settle down and pour a whiskey, crack open a LaCroix. Please put your hands together and make a little noise for your favorite Wildcatters, the handsome Bosco boys.
Ooh, Bosco's boys.
Come on, boys.
Boom, the boys are back, and it is, I mean, look, we're getting really close to the unofficial off-season for Bosco's boys, which really is, what, April, May, and June? So Q2 for you fiscal folks out there. You know, we'll still have at least one episode a week, but that's kind of like our unofficial off-season. But there is no off-season. But we had the last game, at least for the time being, that we are going to go super emotionally invested in. Although you got to give a shout out to the Batcats. I mean, they might be drawing me in. Currently top of the Big 12, just swept Houston. So the Batcats, again, outside of the rough swing to the southeast, playing Tennessee and Clemson. Some would say they're living up to the hype. So, shout out to Pete Hughes and the Batcats. Might have to be going a little bit more all in on them. But if we're gonna do in depth game episodes, it probably will be closer to Big 12 tournament postseason. We'll see if they make some noise. You know, if they're going into the final, few series with a chance at winning the Big 12, we'll definitely jump all in on that. But the K-State women falling to Colorado, after their win over Portland. It was a tough one. We're going to lead off. We're going to talk about the game versus Colorado. And where does K-State women's basketball go from here? So we'll talk about that. And we'll talk about K-State men's basketball. We have the first two portal entries. At some point, whether it's midweek this week or maybe it'll be April, might have some sort of basketball conclusion episode where we talk about the season macro level. So stay tuned on that. I think on Friday we're going to have our six-year anniversary show. Last Thursday actually was the six-year anniversary of Bosco's Boys. So the plan is to have a show on Friday to wrap up the month of March and wrap up this, season six of Bosco's Boys with Grant. So the hope is to get him on. To wrap up this week, wrap up this month, and celebrate 6 years of Bosco's Boys. So, yeah, that's the roadmap for this episode. the roadmap for this week. Let's get into it. Before we do, a shout out to Manhattan Brewing Company. Stay tuned. Keep your eyes and ears peeled. Might be doing something fun with them and the 1012 Network in April. So might have something fun there. Of course, we'll be rocking with them all quote-unquote off-season long. We'll definitely be at Wing Wars in July. So make sure you keep your eyes peeled for all the news surrounding Wing Wars at Manhattan Brewing Company in July. Folks, they always have fun events. If you are not following them on social media, you need to be doing so. Whether you live in Manhattan or Northeast Kansas, they are always doing fun stuff. Well worth the drive if you don't live in town. I've gone up from Shawnee to a handful of their fun little specialty events, and I have a blast every single time. They have the best beer in the state of Kansas. They have the best tap room in the state of Kansas. They have cocktails. They have good vibes, board games, TVs. It is the spot to be. And, of course, if you're going out to support the Batcats, they got Wabash Ale ready for you to drink right there in Toynton Family Stadium to support Wildcat NIL and Manhattan Brewing Company. So be sure to check it out. Talk to your local liquor stores. If you're in the state of Kansas, make sure they're carrying it. Shout out to Manhattan Brewing Company. They are the best. All right, let's get a little sad. K-State women's basketball ends in the round of 32. They're not able to get back to the Sweet 16 for the first time since 2004. 63-50. It was a rough second half. Due to a great run on offense by Serena Sundell, had a two-point lead at halftime, and things were battling. It was 39-39, and then Serena Sundell gets called for what I thought was a bogus intentional foul, which really was because the Colorado point guard was 5'6" and ran her face into Serena Sundell's elbow. Serena Sundell's 6'1", 6'2". So that's not the first time she was called for something because she was being guarded by someone that's half foot shorter than her. And from that moment on, credit where credit's due to Colorado. They took off and they did not look back. I think they're up by 10 going into the fourth quarter. K-State's defense actually held Colorado to like a 6-minute scoring drought. I think the lowest they ended up getting it was 6. Maybe they got it within 5, but they never got it back within a single possession. And it was a frustrating way to go out. It was a frustrating game. It's a sad way to go out. And with emotional investment comes a lot of folks who are going to be mad, who are kind of lashing out. And look, I'm not going to sit here and defend anything from that second half because, I mean, it was really bad. It was really bad. I mean, you only scored 11 points in the final, like, 15 minutes, something like that. It might have been even worse than that. It sucked. You only scored 7 points in the third quarter, only 8 points in the fourth quarter. It's tough to sit back and watch that. And the frustrating part about, you know, this outcome and it's something that we saw throughout the season. At times, this team really struggled to score the ball. And then down the stretch, they kind of lost their defensive prowess. Although, look, giving up 63 points to a solid Colorado team. And look, Colorado's good. I saw them absolutely work LSU in person back when the season started. They were playing with a massive chip on their shoulder. I think they took not getting to host personally, even though they shouldn't have. K-State was the worthy host, but I think they used that for motivation. I think they used that for a chip on their shoulder. I think they used playing in a sold-out gym in their favor. They wanted to play the villain. I don't know if K-State came in here thinking, all right, you know, they're a 5 seed. They really had a bad run of form coming into this. I mean, I think they lost something stupid down the stretch. I mean, they struggled down the stretch. They lost to Washington State. lost to Oregon State, lost to USC, UCLA, Utah. I mean, look, they did not have a good end to their season. So I don't know if K-State was thinking, all right, we got 11,000 in the arena. We're going to get up. The moment's going to be too big for the opponents, and we're just going to take care of business. I don't think that's the case. I think what we ran into, it's where K-State struggled throughout the entire season. If you're going up against a team who has multiple bigs that can defend Aoka Lee, throw multiple bodies at her. I think they had three or four girls guard Aoka. They were very good at denying the entry pass. And when you have that, this team was very good at a lot of stuff. Shooting threes is not one of them. And now that's not the only reason, because look, we outshot Colorado. They weren't very good from three either. They were 4 of 16. K-State was 5 of 19. So very minimally, but 1.3% better from three. They got to the free throw line 25 times. K-State only got there 10 times. They shot 76% from the free throw line when they got there. K-State only shot 50% when we got there. So when you're not hitting threes, when you're not getting to the free throw line, and you're putting them on the free throw line, it's going to look ugly. Look, we turned the ball over 22 times. They turned the ball over 5 times. There was a moment in the game where Serena Sundell absolutely took the game over, but she had 9 turnovers in the game. She didn't score in the second half. She only had 6 assists. K-State as a whole only had 13 assists. It was just an overall house of horrors in the second half that we dealt with all season long.
This episode is supported by FX's Clipped, the scandalous story of the 2014 Clippers owner's racist remarks captured on tape and heard around the world. The series charts the tape's impact on a dysfunctional basketball organization striving to win against their reputation as the most cursed team in the league. Starring Lawrence Fishburne, Jackie Weaver, Cleopatra Coleman, and Ed O'Neill. FX's Clipped, streaming June 4th, only on Hulu.
Now, I don't know if it's as simple as saying the fix for the second half of this game was, better rotation. But we know that Aoka Lee, Gabby Gregory, and Serena Sundell were dealing with nagging injuries the entire game. When you look at them, Lee played 38 minutes, Gregory played 33 minutes, Sundell 35 minutes, Briley Glenn 33 minutes, Jalen Glenn 34 minutes. When you look at the usage for all these players, when you look at, the nagging injuries, when you take into account that you're playing on one day's rest, I don't know if it's as simple as saying, hey, play, Maupin, more than 2 minutes. Hey, play sides and Walker a little bit more. I don't know if it's as simple as saying, hey, do that and you're able to find a way to score more. I don't know if that's the answer. Look, Maupin got just abused in her one possession in the first half on defense. So I understand why that maybe wasn't the move. But I think you had to do something because it was obvious how just dog tired they all were. They weren't making plays. The scoring droughts and the lack of ability to just get the ball in the bucket in the second half, it just says everything. So there's no sense in overly dwelling on this game. It's over. There's nothing we can do about it. It's frustrating. But yeah, it sucks. It's they have 11,000 in the arena, and it just was supposed to be the crescendo. It was supposed to be the climax. It was supposed to be the culmination of a season that revitalized the K-State fan base and its love affair with women's basketball. And the fact that second half went the way it did, it just hurts. It just leaves you with a nagging feeling. So it is what it is. I do want to reflect on the season as a whole. Because like I said, I think it revitalized this love and passion for women's basketball that I think has always been present with K-State. You go back to the, you know, Nicole Oldie and Kendra Wecker days, when you think about Brittany Chambers, when you think about some of the all-time greats, Shaylee Lenning, all these greats at K-State, and you think about some of these big crowds, you think about hosting the WNIT final, you think about hosting some of those games back in the early, mid-2000s, you think about winning the Big 12 title and some of the crowds that they saw and some of the performances that were put in by the stars of this team. Taking down Iowa, taking down Baylor on the road, taking down Texas, that massive crowd that saw the first Sunflower Showdown game. You know, some of those knockout, dragout games with West Virginia, not only in the regular season, but in Kansas City as well. There were a lot of really fun moments. And again, I think with the Gap Goat, when you think about all the fun social media interactions, when you see the coverage of this team, I want to take away and I want to feel good about this season, and I don't want to dwell on this game because of how much fun I had watching this. You know, it's probably a different route than I usually take with some of these disappointing games, but look, we all had high expectations coming into this season, but you know, they weren't preseason ranked top 25. It took them a while to start getting some respect. They weren't seen as possible contenders to win the Big 12. They were in the race for the Big 12. They got as high as number 2 in the AP poll. And again, I understand due to all that success in the season, the expectation was to make it at least to the Sweet 16, and that's a disappointment for sure. I do want to walk away, even, you know, not even 5 hours removed from the end of that game, thinking and celebrating how much fun the season was. And again, Gabby Gregory, she did not have the final season that she expected, she wanted, what any of us expected, what any of us wanted. But the passion and the love that she had for her teammates, for Kansas State University, for all the fans, you know, I got choked up seeing some of the clips from the press conference. She is a full-on Emaw. She is someone who deserves to be remembered as fondly as possible. She's one of those cult hero type personalities. Again, she's not a Rafters player. She's not even a K-State Hall of Fame type of player, but she was an all-Big 12 player last year. She came back for her super senior season. She ingratiated herself to the fan base like I don't think any other women's player has in a very long time. And she's going to be one of those players that anyone who followed this team the last 2 years is always going to look back on fondly and cherish some of the big games and big moments that she delivered for K-State basketball. Ayoka Lee, again, look, if you made me predict, if you put a gun to my head and made me predict it, I think she might be coming back for one more year for her COVID year. But if she doesn't, I mean, look, she's the most dominant player to ever play for K-State. Injuries have definitely lowered the ceiling on the career she's had. But I don't think anyone can take anything away from her pure dominance. 4 years, 4 out of 4 years being first team All Big 12, multiple All-American honors. Again, an NCAA record that's going to stand for a while. It just what she was able to do in a K-State uniform, truly, I think has only, you know, maybe Michael Beasley. I mean, I think Ayoka Lee and Michael Beasley are the two most dominant players to ever play for K-State in any sport, and she's going to have that forever. So we'll see what happens there. But going into the offseason, you're going to have Serena Sundell. You're going to have the Glenn twins. You're going to have Zai Walker. You're going to have Taryn Sides. You're going to have Eliza Maupin. And again, I guess in modern college athletics with the transfer portal NIL, none of that is a guarantee. none of that is should be taken for granted. But I think you have some pieces there that you can really still have a good season next year, get back to postseason play, even if Aoka Lee does, you know, call it a day with her college career, which I would not, I wouldn't blame her if she did. So obviously, I think you need to find more outside shooting. If you are going portal hunting yourselves, I think you're going to have to build up Zai Walker and Taryn Sides to take on bigger roles. I think you're going to have to look to Maupin and Lester and some of the other taller bodies on this team to step into that void if Aoka Lee does leave. But my expectation is for them to get back to the postseason next year, regardless of what Aoka decides to do. And it sounds like we should be finding out her plans here in the next coming weeks. Regardless, I hope all of you guys listening enjoyed this women's season as much as I did. I hope you guys all decide to tune in, invest emotionally and with your time next year as well, because I still think this could be a really fun team. And yeah, it'll be interesting to see who moves on, who comes back, and what pieces they add going into next season. So yeah, that's all we have. Any massive news? Again, I'm sure we'll talk about Yoki's decision when it is made. Any major transfer news, we'll talk about it, obviously, throughout their offseason. And as we get closer to next season, we're definitely going to be talking about them again. So shout-out to Jeff Mitty. Shout-out to the entire team. It was a lot of fun following along with them all season long. Before we move on and talk about some of the men's basketball news, let's give a shout-out to Charlie Hustle. Again, I'm not going to win it. My bracket's horrible, but the winner of the Bosco's Boys Bracket Challenge is going to get a free Charlie Hustle t-shirt as their prize. And look, they're truly the best. I'm sitting here, sad boy hours, wearing my Bosco's Boys crew neck. It's raining. It's cold. It's perfect crew neck weather. It's so comfortable. I promise you. Again, look, I know you're thinking, Scott, it's almost April. What are you doing talking about the crew neck? No. Make sure you get one. You're going to thank me later. Of course, they have all the best officially licensed K-State gear in the world. Best looking, most comfortable. They also have some great stuff if you're a soccer fan for the local Kansas City clubs. If you're a baseball fan, they have the Crown Town collection. And they have the iconic Kansas City Hearts. It doesn't get better than Charlie Hustle. Check out charliehustle.com today. Check out their retail location down at the Country Club Plaza. They're going to have you looking good, feeling good, and playing good. Charlie Hustle, vintage made fresh. All right, for the men, we have two portal entries. Neither one of them surprising to me based on some of the stuff that you started hearing over the last month or so. Cam Carter was the first one in the portal. Dorian Finister, the second one, both Louisiana guys. Look, I was a little surprised how quickly Cam Carter ended up in the portal. At different points this season, you started hearing whispers about how Cam's going to be looking to leave. And then after the Big 12 tournament, you start hearing some stuff. You start hearing two specific schools. I'm not going to talk about it on here because some of the whispers were happening behind different paywalls and that type of stuff. So I try not to mention anything that I've only heard behind different paywalls. But I think it'll be telling if he ends at either of those two schools, and we'll talk about it if it does. But I thought that if Cam was going to leave, I thought that there probably would be a little bit more of a discussion. Seems like that, hey, once the buzzer went off in the NIT, they got back to Manhattan. It sounded like his mind was made up and he was going to be going elsewhere. If not, communicated even before the NIT. So, again, I'm a little surprised that it was such a quick decision. Cam Carter's legacy, look, I think he came in with so much fanfare. He was one of the first transfers of the Jerome Tang era. He was a blue chip prospect. But at the end of the day, look, he his raw numbers, look, he scored, you know, over 12 points a game, grabbed some rebounds, but the guy was turning the ball over. He was not efficient at all. Last year, he was, by different offensive metrics, one of the worst starters in the Big 12. I don't think Cam Carter lived up to the hope. I don't think Cam Carter lived up to the expectation. And I think the Cam Carter experience was a little disappointing. He definitely had his moments, and looked at times in the non-conference, and even for, you know, flashes here or there in Big 12 play, he was big time. He made some big time moments, but I think ultimately, with what the fan expectation, the hope was around Cam Carter, I think he fell woefully short of that. It's not going to take away him being a starter on that Elite Eight run. It's not going to take away some of the good moments that we had with Cam Carter. But I think K-State fans were wanting more from Cam, and he fell short. Look, I think Cam, maybe more than anyone, was hurt by the lack of ability to get a true point guard on this team. Again, Tyler Perry, I'm not going to take anything away from Tyler Perry. He gave it his all night in, night out. And he was put in a position both on the court and in the team that he probably was not up for. You know, he's not a true point guard. He's a guy who would have been better off playing more off ball than he did. And I think that if you would have been able to change his role and then change Cam Carter's role, I think maybe we're singing a different tune on Cam Carter. But sadly, you can't go back in time. You can't go back and change that sort of stuff. So it is what it is. With Dorian Finister, again, I think some fans were maybe holding out hope that he would turn into more. He had that three-game stretch where he actually kind of looked like he was doing something. But as Day-Day Ames rose, as, you know, RJ, they felt comfortable giving him minutes, Dorian vanished. And look, it's got to be tough for a guy like that. Two seasons, not really getting to play. Although I'll say this about Dorian in his time at K-State. He needs to send Jerome Tang a Christmas card for the rest of his life, finding a way to get him a red shirt in basketball after playing as many games as he did as a true freshman. I mean, that's one of the biggest questions I have in this world to this day, is how Jerome Tang was able to get Dorian Finister a redshirt season last year. So he'll still have 3 years to play somewhere. I think Dorian is going to transfer to a mid-major single bid league, probably somewhere in the Southeast, closer to home. And I definitely want what is best for Dorian. I'm not going to ever wish anything ill on him. But I'm happy he's leaving. I did not want to be wasting two scholarship spots this upcoming season on Taj Manning and Dorian Finister. Now, it sounds like, it looks like Taj Manning will be sticking around. I'd be shocked if Taj is the guy who gets through 10 days in the portal and it's just like, no, you know, now I'm deciding to leave. Kind of seems like if he was going to leave, he'd be one of those first ones to go. So if he's going to be around, and if he's going to be spot 13 on the bench, a good morale guy, all that type of stuff, then hey, it is what it is. I'm not going to hate on it. But you can't have two scholarship guys for three straight years taking up that spot. I can live with one. I can live with one guy in year three if he's not contributing, but you can't be having two of those. Everyone else, you know, I kind of expect back at this point. You know, I expect Day Day back. I expect RJ back. I expect Buddy back, which I maybe wouldn't have said 2-3 weeks ago, but I expect him back. I currently expect Jarrell Colbert back. I currently expect David Gasson back. That one might be, I don't know. I feel pretty good about it, but, you know, you have the international aspect to it. You have the COVID aspect to it. We'll see, but I'm expecting David Gasson back, and that's going to be good. I think with a group of Day-Day Ames, David Gasson, Jarrell Colbert, RJ, Buddy, I think that's a good group to work from. Quez Glover, I think he's going to be back. I don't feel confident, but I think Quez is going to be back. Arthur Kaluma, I think some folks are trying to say it might happen. I need to see it to believe it with him. I expect him to go start trying to play pro ball next year. So I would still be surprised at this point if he's back. So regardless of if he's back or not, I think the key for this team, and of course David Castillo's coming, I think you really need to go out and find. I think you need to go out and find your three best players for the team next year. I think for this team to be what we want them to be, I think if this team is going to accomplish what kind of the new standard is at K-State, not just making the tournament, but talking about getting a six seed or better. And I say standard. What Jerome Tang is kind of, what he's trying to drive us towards. Because, look, that's never been the standard at K-State. Throughout our history, proud basketball tradition, that's never been the, okay, hey, pencil us in for a six-seater bet. That's not what it is. That's what where Jerome Tang's trying to drive us to be. And I think that's where we can be with Jerome Tang. But to get to that level, I believe in the transfer portal, they're going to have to find three starters, and they're going to have to be your three best players on the team. Now, in a world where hypothetically Arthur Kaluma comes back, that changes the math a little bit. I think Arthur Kaluma can be that guy, especially if he buys into everything in the offseason, second year with Jerome Tang. I think hypothetically he could be that. That could change the math a little bit. But I think you're going to need three guys that you bring in. All three are going to have to be 30% or better three-point shooters. I think you're going to need to have one that's a guard, a combo guard, who can help with Day-Day Ames and David Castillo when it comes to ball handling. Hopefully a bigger guard to help that out. And then I think you're going to need two wings, to play that five-out system that I believe Jerome Tang really wants to run. I think if you can do that, I think that helps with David Gasson, if he's starting at the five versus the four. And then I think if you could match Day-Day Ames with another combo guard who can shoot and two wings, again, you know, in the Arthur Kaluma mold, in the Naquan Tomlin role, you're not going to get carbon copies of these guys, for sure. You're not going to. But those are the type of players that you're going to need. Guys who can shoot it from three. Guys who can grab rebounds. Guys who can be athletic enough to take guys one-on-one, go to the rim when you spread things out. I think that is the formula for K-State to get to where they want to be next year. And then outside of that, you look to fill different roles. You probably want a project big or an experience big, one of those two, depending on the development of what you think Jarrell Colbert could do, a more traditional big. Then you probably need another combo guard type of player, especially if you're unsure of what Quez Glover is going to give you. In that situation, you're going to need Buddy Rich to step up, because you're going to be thin at that guard spot. You're going to need or at that wing spot. And maybe I'm looking at it wrong. Maybe instead of a project bid, you're going to have to grab a couple extra wings to come in off the bench, because quite frankly, I don't think you really have that type of player outside of Buddy Rich on this team. And he has a lot of work to do, and he's definitely not a shooter. So they have a lot of work to do in the portal. It is not going to be easy, but I think Jerome Tang can do it. But I think that's the route that they're going to have to go. I think they're going to have to find three of their top four. I'll even back it up a little bit. I think you're going to have to find three of your top four players in the portal this offseason. You're going to have to find three of your five starters in the portal this offseason. And then you're going to need everyone to take a big step forward. And I think they can. Again, I think what we saw from Day-Day Ames down the stretch, and especially in the NIT, I think he has that potential. I think at times we saw David Gasson down the stretch. The guy was an absolute warrior going through everything he did injuries-wise. I think get him healthy, I think he can be a guy. And I think David Castillo can have a good year. RJ can have a role. Buddy can have a role. Jarrell can have a role. You guys know what I think about Quez Glover. I see it to believe it with him. But I do think there's a foundation there that can set this team up. They're just going to need to hit three home runs or two home runs and a stand-up double at least in the portal this offseason, which is a lot of work. It is. But I think it's work that they can do. But yeah, that's all we have. We'll obviously be talking about portal additions and subtractions as they pop up. Hearing some absolutely awesome things coming out of K-State spring football, especially with Avery Johnson and some of the pass catchers. I think we're going to have a fun football season. When spring ball wraps up, we're going to be working on getting one of the journalists who covers the team full time to maybe dish on all the whispers they've heard out of spring ball. We're working with K-State football to get a coach or two in May or June. I mean, it's so busy being a football coach, but we're going to be working on that as well. So that's all I have for this episode. Again, Friday we are going to tentatively, nothing's been recorded yet, but Friday we're going to hopefully have the 6-year anniversary episode with Grant, the original co-host of Bosco's Boys. Midweek, maybe going to have some sort of basketball season wrap-up with one of our friends who covers the team. Again, you know, lots of people way smarter than me. So we're going to try to get one of them on to put a bow on this basketball season. And then, boom, we're going to be in April. Like I said, April, starting April, May, and June. It's always going to be at least one show on Monday. When stuff pops up, we'll have an episode on Wednesday or Friday. But most weeks, it's going to be one episode versus two versus three as we've been going. So, again, there is no true off season. Just going to dial it back a little bit in the spring and early summer. That's all we have. That's all we have for Chauncey, the best dog in the world. My name's Scott McFarland. We love you guys, and go Cats.
Hail to the purple. Hail to the white. Wildcat in spirit, wildcat in fight. Hail, alma mater, from sea to sea. Onward forever, hail victory.
Badum, 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 badum.
Fight, UK State Wildcats for alma mater fight. Glory in the combat for the purple and the white. Faithful to our colors, we will ever be. A fighting, ever fighting for a Wildcat victory.
Fight, 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 fight.
UK State Wildcats for alma mater fight.
Fight, fight, fight.
Glory in the combat for the purple and the white. Faithful to our colors, we will ever be. Fighting, ever fighting for a Wildcat victory.
two.
Network.